Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please note that today's shiur begins at the top of Lamed Dalid Omid Beis. Lamed Dalid Ma'af was part of our previous shiur. So at the top line of Daf Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, Omar Rova, Hoysa Lufonov Kikor Shel Hefker. There was a loaf of unowned bread in front of him. Rashi points out, and all the more so if it was his own. But for the time being, we'll talk about a loaf of hefker. The Omar, and he said, Kikar zu hektish. And he declared this loaf to be hektish. Rashi points out that in order for him to be able to declare it hektish, to sanctify it, he'd have to first pick it up. So that's what he did. He first picked it up, and he sanctified it as hektish. Notla le'oichla mo'al lefi kula. If he picked it up and ate it, he is then considered guilty of mi'ila, a prohibition that one violates when one receives personal benefit from something that he sanctified. And he'll have to compensate hektish, he'll compensate the Beis HaMikdash fund in accordance with the entire value. And Rashi adds, the halacha says you have to pay the principal and add a fifth. Because what this person did by first declaring it hektish, by first sanctifying and then eating it, he's removed it from the realm of hektish and made it into chulin through his eating of it. So the result is he has to pay lefi kula in accordance with the entire value of the loaf. However, there's another situation. After he declared the loaf hektish, he picked it up with the intention of bequeathing it, the Horisha Lebonov, in order to bequeath it to his sons. Mo'al lefi toivas hano sheba. He is then guilty of mi'ila, but not with the necessity or the obligation of compensating hektish for the full amount, but rather for the amount that we refer to as toivas hana. That is the amount that we assess is worth to a person for having the son unto whom he bequeathed it, we'll say, in debt to you, beholden to you for the fact that you chose him to receive this item. If we look in the Rashi, the fourth line from the top, Avol notlo almanas l'rishi l'bonov, lo mo'al, we skip the parentheses section, lo mo'al elo lefi toivas hano sheba, she'enu mishalim lehekdish alekfi cheskas toivas shenoysing lo'oviv echod min abonim b'shvil shemorisholo, v'ainu toivas hano. The Ran, in explaining this Gemara, says that the Kikor Shel Hefker that Rava spoke about was a loaf that was unowned, but was lying within his four amos, within that distance of the individual, and that enabled him to declare it hektish, meaning that since it's within his four amos, it's something that he can acquire, that he has jurisdiction over. And therefore his hektish dedication takes hold. And then when he picked it up, for the purpose of eating it, that is an act of removing it from Hekdesh. And that is considered Mi'ilah, and as we said, he has to pay Hekdesh according to the full value of the item. The other situation is he picked it up with the intention of bequeathing it unto one of his children. In that case, his act of picking it up doesn't actually remove it from the realm of Hekdesh. That will take place when he gives it over to his sons. But nevertheless, there is a mi'ilah that takes place in accordance with the Toivas Hanoah value. As we explained before, that his son or sons will feel beholden to him, indebted to him, for wanting to give this item to them. Full mi'ilah will take place only when the sons then use it for personal purposes. This you can see in the Ran, where the lines begin to get very wide. The Horisha Labonov Moal Lufi Toivas Hanashibal, the Kevon Delohig Bia Ella La Horisha Labonov, since he picked it up with the intention of bequeathing it to his sons, Velosh Yiknuosa Akshov, not with the intention that they should acquire it right now, Lo Nafka Lechulin, it doesn't leave the realm of Hegdish, it doesn't become Chulin. Avomikomoko Moal Lufi Toivas Hanah. Nevertheless, there is this level of mi'ilah, this level of hektish violation, which demands his compensating hektish in accordance with the toivas hanah value. Lefishe me'achshov, from this point, yachziku lebonav toiva, they, the sons, will feel indebted to their father. Kevon shehu mechazu arisham, ubonav me'ilin shutziu, the sons will be in violation of mi'ilah when they actually, if it's when they actually use it for their own purposes. The reason that this discussion figures in over here, because this is similar to the question that will be presented by Rav Chia in the upcoming piece of Gemara. As the Ran goes on to say, the chihechi dahocha iktish akikar v'achakach not lili ochlo, Rav Chiya bar Ovenami osar hakikar v'achakach nos lo. Just like here, we have someone sanctifying the loaf and then taking it for his own eating purposes. In Rav Chiya's situation, we haven't seen yet, he will see a person first restricting a loaf and then giving it. Now, the Gemara, we continue. Fourth line from the top. On the side, we have a topic heading. Ha'omer ki kori alecha v'nosna lo b'matana ma'u. A person says that I declare my loaf prohibited to you. And then he gives the loaf to that person. What is the din? So the Gemara. Bo minei Rav Chiya bar Ovin me rova. Ki kori alecha. That's an expression of a vow. He prohibits his loaf on his friend. And then he gives that loaf to his friend. What is the din? So the Gemara presents two sides of the question. Kikari, Omar lo, the vow stated, my loaf is usher to you. Ki isei birushusei hu da usher. The implication is, possibly, that only when it's in the original owner's domain is it prohibited. Which leaves open the possibility of that once the owner gives it to his friend, it would be allowed. Oy dilma, or possibly, in his statement he said, kikori olecha. So the word olecha is to be emphasized. Olecha omale, iluyo shavise hektish. It is made hektish upon him, upon the friend. Is considered sanctified with regard to the friend. So what are we to emphasize? The kikari aspect, my loaf, or olecha, also on upon you. Amar lei, so Rava answers, pshinta, it is obvious, the afal gav, diavo lei b'matona osir. Even though he gives it to the friend, it remains usur. Elo kikori alecha lafuke mai. Well, then the expression kikori alecha, what is excluded by that? Lafuke di ganvo mine mignav. Now, in order to explain this, we must learn the Ran. The translation of the Gemara itself is rather daunting. The Ran that we're looking at is, you'll find about 6 lines from the end of the Ran commentary. Omar Lay, Rava responded that Pshita, the Afagav, the Avanilay, B'matona Aser, even after he gives it to his friend as a gift, it remains Aser. The Ilu, Alecha Lafuke Mai. If not, then the term Alecha is coming to exclude what? Lafuke di gonvo mignav bitmiha. You read that with a tone of wonderment. Klomar vadai the afal gav the oval nihale b'matona asar olav kikoro. It's clear that even though he gives the loaf to his friend, that loaf remains asar. The im lo, if not, liyazi imyun asra olav. For what purpose did he bother imposing a prohibition on it? Umay nafko le min isuro, and what difference does it make whether there's an isur, there's a prohibition on arebo shakikor shelo b'shuso ain't tzarch l'asrolov. As long as the loaf is in the original owner's domain, there's no need for him to prohibit it on his friend. Sharei osir v'omeid hu lo. It's not his. It's not the friend's. It's forbidden to his friend. It would probably be an isur of gezel on the friend's part if he were to take it, even without imposing a vow. Veleko lameimar, and likewise there is the following is not to be said. The mishum hochi osro. Don't say that for this reason he imposed an isur. Mishum dii mignivo mine titzar ale. In the event that it would be stolen from the original owner, it will remain osur to the friend. The leko demasik adaite hochi. People don't think about that. People don't plan out that I'm going to impose an iser on the loaf, for in the event that it's stolen from me, that it's no longer in my domain, it should remain also to my friend. People, as we said, that doesn't even cross their minds. Elo vadai lohochi osra. Rather, the imposition of the prohibition is for the following. Kidei shelo yafsir bo shitnuloi. So that the friend doesn't pressure the original owner to give it to him. The cave on shekain al korcha chafil achar matona osrole. And therefore, it's clear that the prohibition that was imposed on it was to cover the case even after it's given to the friend as a, even if it were to be given to the friend as a gift. The original purpose of the vow was to foil that possibility because of the pressure that the friend was putting on him, and he didn't want that. So we turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara had said when a person says kikari alecha, it's obvious that even after it would be given to the friend as a gift, it would remain usur. So the Gemara wants to know then, what case would not be included in this prohibition? And that's what the Gemara is driving at when it asks the second line from the bottom, lafuke mai, what is being excluded? Lafuke di gonvo mine mignav, is it coming to exclude that case? Certainly not. That doesn't cross people's minds. Omar lay lo. So he answers rather lafuke di azmine ole. The Ran continues, and we must learn the Ran together. The second line from the bottom, Omer le, lafuke di azmene ale, klomar, li oilom e moloch, di oiv le b'matono shario le. Ike will tell you that if the loaf is given as a gift, in fact, it will be mutter. V'chi ka'amar le olecha, and the purpose then of saying kikori olecha, la'afuke di azmine Allah titzar le, tahi shaita nami kikorohi. That is to exclude a case where if the madir had invited the mudar before giving it to him as a gift, the bread remains in the possession of the original owner, that the invited mudar would not be allowed to benefit from it. Up till now, we presented the Gemara in accordance with the Ran's commentary. If you look at the Rashi, though, you'll see a different approach. The Rashi says, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, Lo, lafuke di azmin ole, lemechal me'ahu kikor me'ikora. The vow of Kikri Olecha, as we saw in the Gemara, would prohibit the loaf to the Mudar even after it's given to him as a gift. However, if the Madir had invited the Mudar originally, the Hodar Amale Kikri Olecha, and after inviting him, he pronounces this prohibition, the Hassam Kivan Asmani Ale, in that case, since initially he had invited the Mudar, who wasn't yet a Mudar at that point, before the vow was made, he had invited him to partake of the loaf. At that point, he gains ownership in part of the loaf. How much? The amount. Kamo shehu yochol lechol heimena. V'eino yochol oisrolov. And from at that point, the original owner cannot prohibit the friend from benefiting from that loaf. The lav kulei denosin, who it's no longer. From the point that he originally invited his friend to eat from it, it's no longer entirely the original owner's. Elogam demizumon. It also is owned by the guest that was invited to partake of it. So that if the invitation to partake of the meal preceded the vow, according to Rashi, the vow will not take hold with regard to the friend. The difference between the Rashi and the Ran in explaining this Gemara is that according to Rashi, the expression of de'i azmine is a reference to an invitation before the vow is taken. According to the Ran, the invitation referred to in the Gemara is an invitation after the vow had been taken. And hence, the two different explanations follow suit. The Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, Esvei. We raise a challenge, a question. Omar lo, hashileni poroso. You see a double underline that's used to highlight two cases that are featured here. A person requests from his friend to borrow his cow. So he says, Hashilemi porascha. Omar loi. The owner says, Koinim poro she'ani konui loch nechosay olecho im yesh li poro elo zu. The language here is not 100% clear on a translation level, so we look to the Ran, who explains at the top line, Hochi Garcino Koinim Poro Shani, he has a different girsi as Hano Loch. Vahochi Mashma Koinim Yu Alecho Shar Poros Shieshli Shani Mahanaloch Klomar She'enli Paracheres. He is declaring, I don't have any other cows. V'zu she'eshli eni mashil chashezu lo rotsa lashilo. This cow, the only cow that he has, he doesn't want to loan. V'acheros asuros alov b'neder, o she'omer lo nechosai asuron olecho, im yeshli paracheres elazu, v'nimso she'eshlo paracheres. Osir lishol lehanois. And we'll see later in the source that it turns out that he actually does have others. What's the result? I must correct an error. What we read was the Rashi commentary. The Ran commentary, you could see on the top line, the last word on the first line, Koinim Porosh Anikoni Olecho, Koinim Olecho Porosi Zu, this cow should be usher to you im ye im ani konisi elo porozu o she'osul of kol nechosov im yesh lo poro elozu, or he pronounces all his property to be forbidden to his friend if he has a cow other than this one. Continuing in the source, hashileni kardumcha. The friend or neighbor comes and asks, can I borrow your kardom? Kardom is an axe. Omar lo, and you see a similar expression, koinim kardom li shani konui. Nechosai olai im yesh li kardom elo ze. In the similar vein, he says that if I have any other kardomim, then all my properties should be forbidden. V'nimtso sheyesh lo, and it turns out that he does have other ones, other cows or other kardoms. B'chayov oser. The Ran says b'chayov oser im nimtso sheyesh lo par cheres or kardom acher. If it turns out that he has other cows or cardoms, then in his lifetime there is a prohibition, there is a vow. So that if we understand the vow to say that if I have another cow or if I have another cardom, then all my properties shall be prohibited unto you, and then it turns out that he does have other cows or kardoms, the source says, b'chayav oser, as long as the original owner is alive, so the vow takes hold, and there is prohibition. Meis oishenosna loy b'matona, hare ze muter. If, however, the original owner dies, or he gives a cow, or he gives a kardom to the neighbor as a gift. And the Havamina right now is that the Madir gives that item to the Mudar as a gift. Harezen Mutar. It is allowed. The receiver can benefit from the gift. So this is a direct question on what Rava had ruled. Rava had said that in the event that someone declares an item of his prohibited to his friend, and then it's given to that friend as a gift, Rava said it's obvious that it's prohibited to the friend. Here you have that same situation where property was declared usher to the friend, but once given to the friend as a gift, it's allowed. Omar Rav Acha Brei de Rav Iko Shenitno Lui Al Yedei Acher. What this source is describing is not that the Madir gave it directly to the Mudar, but rather the Madir, the original owner, gave the item to a third party, to an outsider. And in the course of time, that outsider gave it to the Mudar. The outsider, in turn, gave it to the Mudar. So it was, we could say, in using some modern terminology, it was laundered through the outsider. Omar of Ashi Daika Nami, by careful reading, you can see that this is what happened. The Katoni Shenitna Lo Volo Katoni Shenosna Loi. Now, the Meforshim point out, the Ran, he points out, that there is no way to tell this by looking at the word of the source, but rather it's a function of the vowelization. And they knew, Rav Ashi knew, that the Tanaic source is to be vowelized, not shenosna lo b'matana, like we originally thought, which would have implied that the original owner gave it directly to the friend, the prohibited friend, but rather shenitna lo b'matana, which is a more indirect form, namely that it eventually was given to the mudar as a gift, but not directly from the original owner. So Rava's original psak stands, that if someone had declared an item prohibited to their friend, and then the original owner gives that very item to the friend as a gift, the friend cannot benefit from it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.